Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Now back to 95.7 The Game.
Wow, looks like the baseball gods could be smiling down on MLB this postseason. Whitey Gleason, Shamari Block on 95.7 The Game. You realize, Shamari, it's possible, and we got a lot to sort out over the last 2 days of the regular season here, but it's possible that the two wildcard games could be, no offense to Craig and his Mariners, they're a plucky bunch, but you could have Red Sox-Yankees in the American League wildcard game and Dodgers-Cardinals in the National League wildcard game. I mean, four absolute crown jewel franchises in the wildcard round. That would be great for baseball.
It would. And it would help, you know. I was going to say it would help them compete with the NFL on Monday, but the games aren't going to – they're not playing the games on Monday, so whatever, right?
They just can't compete.
I was getting ready to say it wouldn't help. It wouldn't help, man. It really wouldn't. If the Giants are playing the Padres for the division tomorrow, right? And this is my team. This is a team that I love. I'm going to watch my football team that I love, and then I'm going to watch a bunch of other football teams I don't even care about.
Yeah.
I don't even care about. And that's the power of football, man. It is football's king for a reason. I don't even know what that reason is, man, honestly, because, you know, it's a great game, but I don't know. NBA, I feel, has star power, right? Baseball's baseball, but football is – football is special. It's only once a week. It's such a great TV sport, right? You know, I feel like baseball is better in person, you know? And I feel that baseball became America's pastime when the number one way that people communicated was with the radio, right? It wasn't a whole lot of television. You listened to the radio, and then you went and you got the Sunday paper and down at the local whatever, right? So you have that sort of dynamic. And baseball became America's pastime when people listened to the radio. Then television comes along. Baseball's okay on television, but football on a television with all the screens and the crowd noise and the microphones. Oh man, there's nothing like it.
Baseball's really tricky on TV and all the networks, and everyone does a great job. But you look at football and you got the snap, you got the line of scrimmage. If you follow the ball, same with basketball, you're in pretty good shape. In baseball, let's say you got two runners on and a guy hits a shot into the right field corner. What do you show, right? Because you got runners, you got somebody scoring, you got fielders chasing the ball. So it really isn't built for TV. But as far as football's popularity, there's a lot more to it than just that. But we'll see where the Giants are. Still a chance that today is a big party day. So we're of course keeping an eye on all that here.
Let's just hope because, like I said, I'm gonna hate missing the game tomorrow. I'm gonna hate it, but it's gonna happen, man. I would even try, right? I'll be like, okay, I'm gonna watch the Giants here, and then like all of a sudden something will pop up on ESPN. Did you see this play? Like, you know, a highlight will come up on my phone. I'm like, oh my god, I gotta watch this game.
You know what that reminds me of, and I know nobody cares, but if I may, because to that point, I remember, I think it was the last day of the 1985 season, and the 49ers were playing the Saints, okay? And this is the 49ers, of course, at that time, you know, that was a great team. The 49ers were playing the Saints, but I decided I wanted to go to see the A's the last game of the year, and they were playing against the White Sox, and Tom Seaver was pitching, and the A's had this youngster. I remember he was, I think he was down, no balls, two strikes to Tom Seaver, and he hit a single to right field, and I thought, wow, this guy's going to be good. It was Jose freaking Canseco. This young guy that no one knew who he was yet, he got a single to right off Tom Seaver, and of course, we had no idea what all that was going to lead to. So, well, yeah, hopefully for your sake, Shamari, I won't come to you having to choose between a baseball clincher and football tomorrow.
Because I don't need that pressure in my life, Whitey. I don't need that. So, Giants, you guys better come through today, man. You better come through for your guy, man. For your guy. Please do. Please do.
Kyle Shanahan, I think to a degree right now, we've touched on it. We've talked about it, all the different aspects of it. I think maybe the honeymoon is in danger of coming to an end here, and maybe not. You know, they could win the rest of their games and win the Super Bowl, and then he's a genius forever. But given the fact that, I'll give you three reasons why I think his reputation around here is as a genius is kind of hanging in the balance. One, you have the fact that the Rams got Matt Stafford and the 49ers wanted him, and they didn't get him, right? The Rams, however they did it, they got him and you didn't get him, and the Rams are really good. Secondly, you've got the fact that Trey Lance, to this point, he's not ready to play, and that's on Kyle and his staff. You drafted him, and perhaps he hasn't developed as quickly as you thought he would. Maybe some of that's on you, too. And then thirdly, you have the fact, as we've discussed, that again this year, you're dealing with all these injuries. Now, 2-1, they're nearly 3-0, right? So again, I'm not saying, oh, it's all coming apart here, but you got a lot of injuries to the secondary, the running backs, and this season is kind of hanging in the balance a little bit. You win tomorrow, you're in great shape, and you really put a dent in the Seahawks season. But Kyle the genius, I think more and more 49er fans are looking at everything going on and going, I don't know about that. And you talked about it earlier in terms of his player evaluation skills.
And I think the GM, I think in terms of offensive play calling, play designing, and putting together a game plan, you see it. Every week on the field, you see wide-open receivers running with no one near them, okay? And not everyone gets to do that, especially not consistently against an NFL defense. So there's that aspect. Kyle, the offensive play caller, the offensive mind, the offensive coordinator, that guy has proven to be a genius, even though the offense looks boring as hell sometimes. Definitely say, and not to say that Jimmy Garoppolo is awful, but he's a boring guy to watch play quarterback. It just is. It's a boring style of quarterbacking.
What
okay,
was boring about that comeback last week and the drive and the pass to Juszczyk, and he's into the end zone. What was boring about that?
The pass to Juszczyk was a basic like 10 yards down the field slant from a guy who's lined up in the slot. That's not an exciting throw. That's what I'm saying. It's effective. I'm not talking about its efficacy. I'm not talking about the results. I'm just talking about watching it and then going to watch Justin Herbert play and then going watching Patrick Mahomes play quarterback and Dak Prescott play quarterback and all these other dudes play quarterback. It just looks way more exciting, right? So you'd rather lose
a high-scoring game than win just to kind of a basic?
No, not at all. I'm just saying that as underwhelming as the offense looks at times, when you look at it, give it the eye test, it looks boring as hell. The offense is still effective, and you see guys running wide open all over the place, right? But the personnel decisions that are made, I mean, think about, let's just go back over some things here. Let's go over a few key things, right? Let's say that you have DeForest Buckner on this team still, right? Because you don't have DeForest Buckner, you don't have the Javon Kinlaw. That's fine. You also probably don't have Arik Armstead. So you have Buckner, you have Bosa, and you have Ford, right? And then you have a guy that you drafted in the second or third round instead of drafting Kinlaw in the first, right? That defensive line still scares me, right?
I'm not trying to trip you up. I'm asking if you know the money that they saved by trading Buckner. Where do we know where that went? Did some of that go to Jimmy? And again,
it actually kind of, some of it went to Armstead and they traded, right. But okay. But they only said, I don't remember the exact numbers, but Armstead got maybe like $6 or $7 million
right.
Less.
They couldn't keep all those guys. Yeah.
Yeah. But it was like six over the course of the whole contract. Like they let Buckner go and kept Armstead over $2 million a year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it wasn't $5 million a year. It was something like two, maybe even $3 million a year. And when you look at what Buckner, like when Buckner went to Indianapolis, that defense went from middle of the pack to top 10. Okay? He's that kind of an impact player. And it's difficult to find somebody like him on the interior offensive line, right? So let's say you still have Buckner on this team and you don't have Armstead, but you have a rookie or a second year, second round level guy, right? Instead of Armstead, but you have Buckner and Bosa in Ford, right? Let's say that you held on to Matt Breida because they just let him go, right? And then you have some insurance. You have another guy that's, you know, that has the same kind of speed as Mostert does, right? Let's say that you instead of drafting Trey Lance, which I believe I like that move, right? You have Patrick Surtain, a young Patrick Surtain the second in your secondary right now. That defense, that's a defense that can carry Jimmy Garoppolo to the Super Bowl. You don't have that right now. This team isn't an elite team right now, and you had one 2 years ago. So I it's weird, right? Because you give them credit, right, Righty? You give them credit for building a Super Bowl contender that went to the Super Bowl, right? But then you mm-hmm. also have to give them credit for where they are right now, because this sucks. And they made bad moves, including, honestly, not bringing Brady in.
Yeah, I suppose things would look a lot different if you'd brought Tom Brady in, although who knows, maybe he would have been injured and overwhelmed, you know, last year because of the porous pass blocking up front. We will never know about that. It does seem like with the move to bring in Trey Lance and trade all the draft capital to get him, it's almost like they're trying to make up for the fact that they passed on their chance to get Watson and Mahomes, right? When they had, the second pick? And they traded out because they were going to get Cousins. And it's almost like they're chasing and trying to make that right. And we'll see how that goes. I want to thank you because, yeah, last week when I was on with you, and I did the same thing when I was on with Jason Dumas, I said, hey, Jimmy's going to go three straight games without throwing an interception. I know we touched on this earlier. And I was wrong, and you really have been nice about that. You haven't thrown that in my face today, and I appreciate that. But what about that game? What about that game surprised you the most? I was surprised the way Green Bay – control things up front on both sides of the ball. I thought the 49ers had a big advantage there, especially the 49ers defensive line against Green Bay's offensive line. And Green Bay's offensive line, defensive line, they controlled the action, and that stunned me. And to me, that was one of the absolute keys to that game.
I think what it came down to was this. In the critical moments, right, you want to talk about what happened on that last drive. Aaron Rodgers had way too much time to throw. He had, because everyone's talking about D'Amico Ryans and his play call or whatever. In that situation, you want to force a throw in the middle of the field so that the time can run out, right? So you're going to protect the sidelines, and you're going to make sure you don't get beat deep. And when that happens, the defensive line has to get there pretty quick, because guess what? As all the receivers are running back, that little umbrella there that you're protecting the sidelines, but you're also protecting the deep middle of the field, and you want people shallow middle of the field. As the most shallow receiver gets farther upfield, and the deepest receiver gets farther upfield, then that window, it stretches that defense out and it opens it up in the middle, and that's what you saw Davante Adams do. But you need time to do that. You need time to do that. And that defense with the line with Bosa against a third, the number three tackle, the third yeah. string tackle, right? You're looking for those guys to come through in that moment. If your guy is that guy, he comes through for you in that moment. And they didn't. And that was the most surprising thing, is that when it matters most, when you know they're going to pass and they have to pass, and the defensive linemen get to pin their ears back, Whitey, and just go after the quarterback, nothing. That was
so
the most surprising thing.
If you're the coordinator, you would have blitzed. If you were the DC, you would have brought more pressure.
No, that's what you do. That's what you do. Because a lot of people said they played a prevent defense. That's not true. A prevent defense gives up everything. It's pretty much
underneath,
just geared to
your linebackers got to make the plays. Yeah,
exactly. This defense was, it didn't give them the sidelines, and then it made sure you didn't get deep. It wasn't exactly two man. It was two man, but it was two man with like an emphasis on like, okay, we're gonna play outside leverage and make sure that the little throws there in the shallow, so they can get, you know, the 5 yard pass. The 5 yard pass, it takes 1 second and you get out of bounds, right? They weren't gonna give that up. I wouldn't have blitzed. You just you you your defensive line has to get there. In that situation, Nick Bosa and D Ford, the guys that are making all that money, they needed to get there. They did not. And honestly, I don't put that loss on Jimmy Garoppolo. I don't. I don't feel like he helped them win exactly, but I'm putting the loss on. I'm putting the loss in the key moment. Jimmy Garoppolo hit Kyle Juszczyk. He got the ball in the end zone. 37 seconds left. That defensive line let the whole team down.
Doobie from the 510 says on the text line here, 888-957-9570, by the way, Niners also got a draft pick by trading Buckner in addition to the cash savings, but agreed, terrible move. Getting back to last week's game, and this happens in football, I really thought that basically I thought Kyle got out-coached a little bit. I think you could say that about LaFleur and the Packers staff, and I think that's one of the reasons the 49ers started so slowly. The Packers were ready for the wide nine rush, and they were ready for, you know, what remains of the 49er running attack. And by the time the 49ers sorted things out, the hole was too deep. And then Rodgers eventually, of course, won at the end. But I really think Kyle and his staff got out coached last week.
I don't because LaFleur and company had Aaron Rodgers. Okay. If you have Aaron Rodgers, Mike McCarthy looked like a real, real good coach for a long time because he had Aaron Rodgers. And now he has Dak, and he's looking like a good coach again. But when he had Alex Smith, he did not look like an offensive genius, right? So having Aaron Rodgers, that's a nice little chess piece that you can put on the board there and do a bunch of different things with, okay? So I don't know that he got out coached because it was a close game. It was a close game. They lost in the last seconds. And the difference was Aaron Rodgers, Devontae Adams versus a defensive line that didn't get there. And that's right. Can you think of are you of the mind they should have blitzed also? Or are you with Ryan's where you're going to play that coverage, man, and try to force a throw in the middle of the field to force the clock to run out?
Well, they should have won, right? They should. Yeah. There's no doubt. And we can argue about it. Should Juszczyk have fallen down? No. But they, and Fred Warner says, hey, I needed to line up deeper, and then I would have knocked down one of those passes. As great as Rodgers is, there's no way. So, no, I wouldn't have blitzed. I just think that was unfortunate. That should not happen. Even with Aaron Rodgers, right, as quickly, you made the point earlier, as quickly as they got into field goal range, you know, 37 seconds is not a lot of time. Is it enough time? Obviously it is. But they should have won that game even without blitzing, which might have just, you know, made it worse. I realize you go back to what the Raiders did last year against the Jets when Williamson is like cover zero with the game on the line. I'm not suggesting they should have done that. They should have won that game anyway. But the big reason they lost, we focus on the end, big reason they lost is because they just got dominated early in the game and they fell into such a deep hole.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the thing. And they scored a touchdown at the end of the first half, mostly based on the efforts of Trenton Cannon and then a few good plays by the offense to go the short distance on the short field, man. But up until that point, 2 minutes left in the game in the first half, and you're down 17-0. And part of that is that the defense gave up 17. But the other part of that, Whitey, is that you had scored nothing. You didn't score. It wasn't to 7. It wasn't to 10. It was 17-0. And that is where the offense let the team down, right there. 0 points in the first half. Like I said, I'm not mad at that interception at all. I'm not. That was the happiest I've ever seen.
Because he took a shot.
Exactly.
Right?
That was the happiest interception that was the happiest I've ever been after a Jimmy Garoppolo interception was that one right there. Because I'm like, hey, man, wow, I like that. You went for it, baby. You went for it, right? I was all for that. So at the same time, they scored nothing in the first half up until Trenton Cannon gave you a short field and you went down, you put it in. Good for you. Trey Lance with the run there into the end zone. Good for you. But the offense really let the team down because that whole – 17 points is a lot to give up, Whitey. But when you score nothing, that's a 17-point hole that part of is on you as an offense.
Yeah, and that's 2 weeks in a row, of course, where the offense has been, you know, just sputtering.
I mean, 17 points against the Eagles. I don't want to go back. I don't want to go back to weeks and weeks ago. 17 points against the Eagles, man. Sure, you gave up 11, so that was good, but you only scored 17.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the 2001 Ravens. That's not the 2001 Ravens. That's a okay defense.
They can't run the ball early, and I know I'm the Jimmy guy and you're not, but you're right in that early on, Jimmy in the last couple of games, he's missed some fairly easy throws, and then they have so many three and outs early, right? And that's one of the reasons they struggle. He just, when you do have the throws, he has missed them. But as far as tomorrow goes, the 49ers against the Seattle Seahawks, you know, the Seahawks have been starting fast and finishing poorly. And this game may look a lot like last Sunday night's game, the way the Seahawks have been giving up so many points late and the 49ers have been starting so slowly. So maybe we have another dramatic Seahawks build up an early lead and the 49ers got to come from behind with Jimmy G to lead the charge tomorrow. Shamari, here we go. How about that? But a huge game. It's amazing how early in the year, it's only the fourth game of the year, but for the 49ers, given where they were last year, given how competitive the division is, every one of these games is so important. And we were talking earlier about why is football so popular? I really think that's one of the keys. You know, baseball, you got 162 games. You get to the end like this, and all of a sudden, it's like these games matter. Basketball, you got 82 games. Of football, you got 17 this year. Early in the year, if you want your team to actually achieve anything, every game is so important, and it's just geared more to our lifestyles because we don't have time all the time, all week long, to watch every baseball game. But football, each game is an event, and it's easier to make time for it.
Well, but also you have the – remember the old – and not the old. I guess they do this on television days too, man. But I think about the episodic nature of television back in the day, right? Where it's like a cliffhanger. It's like, tune in tomorrow, tune in next week to find out what happens to your heroes, right? Like, yeah. Baseball has that. I mean, football has that thing going. Basketball and baseball are played either every day or every other day, and they have more of that soap opera vibe to it, right? Like, okay, I'll tune in or whatever. So there's something about that You before you can really dig into a baseball or a basketball game, there's another one being played. But they're going to play Sunday, and then they're not going to play for five, six more days. So we can get into this at work, at our work, but also at the water cooler with your buds out having beers. Like, it's a thing you talk about all week, and there's this buildup to Sunday that you don't get with baseball. Because what a game. But if the Giants win tonight, if they win today and then they clinch the National League West and the best record in the National League, right? Then tomorrow there's more baseball being played. Yep. And even though it's meaningless, there's already more baseball before we can really get into the feeling and the excitement of appreciating what the Giants just accomplished.
Yeah, that's one of the beauties of baseball, but it's also in some ways a detriment. It's like, oh, there's another game tomorrow. We got a game every day. Oh, that's cool.
Exactly.
But we got another game tomorrow. Yeah, I'll tell you what. Speaking of Jimmy G, I actually felt a little sorry for him last week when, you know, at the end of the game and he leads that after he had that terrible turnover, he leads that drive and they score. And you could see he was so happy. And then when Aaron Rodgers comes down and beats him and the look on his face, right, you just knew he was like, oh, I'm going to be the GOAT now. I cost us a game, but I led us back, and I'm going to be the hero, and now I'm going to be the GOAT. I mean, who knows? And these guys make so much money. Maybe it's silly to feel sorry for him in that way, but I did feel compassion for him. And I also did last night, and I'm not a Dodger fan, but seeing Kershaw last night, and he had to leave the game against the Brewers and because he had forearm tightness again. And when he left, Shamari, as I'm sure if you saw it, I'm sure you noticed, he took the ball with him. He took the ball, and he said afterwards, I didn't even know I did that. But some people say, yeah, because he's a free agent. That might be the end. He might have thrown his last pitch as a Dodger. Again, I'm not a Dodger fan, but it was kind of sad if it ends that way with an injury, him walking off the mound like that. I don't know. Kind of sad. Maybe I'm a softie, but it made me a little sad for him.
I was sad for Mad Bum. Bum the other day, man. That must have been, you know, that, like, I feel like, you know, Mad Bum after that game, like he went in and he like hit his Farhan Zaidi punching bag for a couple of hours after that game, just having to sit there and watch the team that you left. Because I feel like I'm sure Farhan didn't offer him a banger of a contract, but they offered him a contract. They offered Madison Bumgarner a contract, and I doubt that it was that much less than what he got to go to Arizona, right? But there's also the dynamic that, you know, it's like, well, hey, you guys don't want me, I'm Madison Bumgarner, whatever. I felt bad for Mad Bum that he had to sit there and look at the team that he left a couple seasons ago be on top of the in Major League Baseball. Like that must have sucked. And then to pitch. And then to not pitch well. Like that whole get down, man, that felt bad to me. And I'm a Mad Bum guy. He wasn't my favorite pitcher. Lincecum was my pitcher, right? That was my guy with the hair and the freak and the movement and the funk and all that kind of stuff. He was definitely my guy, man. But Mad Bum, he was obviously up there amongst all those guys. And to see him, it kind of got you, kind of gets you right here. No, it didn't get you right there.
What got me was seeing him going up to the plate for the first time and patting Buster on the shoulder and Buster kind of swatting him. And you consider what those two guys have been through together. That was really special. We may have some special Giants news in a moment here. We may not. So stay with us. Keep an eye on that situation. And we can also get back to the Warriors here. If Wiggins misses home games, then what do the Warriors do? We'll tell you all about that and more next. Shamori Block and me, Whitey Gleason, on 95.7 The Game.
Now back to 95.7 The Game.
Whitey Gleason, Shamori Block, just two guys from Hogan High School in Vallejo on 95.7 The Game. And Shamori, how about the last day of the baseball season, the way it shapes up here in the American League? Of course, we're keeping an eye on the National League West. But in the American League, here's what we have right now. Yankees lose today. They're at 91-70, and this is in the wild card race. Red Sox are winning now. Let's see. They're winning now. Yeah, 5-1. They're 90-70 right now, so it looks like they'll be tied with the Yankees. You never know, but they're 90-70, so they'd be 91-70. The Blue Jays are 90-71. They won, and the Mariners play tonight. They're 89-71. So it looks like we'll have Yankees, Red Sox with 91 wins, Blue Jays, and potentially the Mariners with 90 wins. Four playing for two spots on the last day of the season. Then, of course, the A's would be the next one out with 86 wins at this point. And so my dream of the Bay Bridge Series, of course, Bay Bridge Series 2.0, that dream is over, Shamori. But how about that race for the wild card races, the wild card spots in the American League?
In the American League, it's a go, man. In the American League East is just – I mean, early on I said the National League West was the best division in was the best division in Major League Baseball because you have the Giants and the Dodgers and the Padres look like somebody for a good part of the season. But American League East, that's nasty. That's just nasty, man. That whole lineup from top to bottom, like their worst team, I feel, you know, their worst team, I feel, contends is in the middle of most other divisions, right? It's insane.
Yeah, pretty good division in the National League East.
Hey, so, but when it comes to the West,
American
though,
League,
okay,
pardon me. Yeah,
and then when it comes, let's take it back to the Giants and the Dodgers, man. The Dodgers have to play game. The Giants and the Dodgers have to play one game, 163. Yeah, now we don't want to see that here, okay? I'm not. But do you think that that's good for baseball? Giants Dodgers 163 to see who wins the division.
First of all, by the way, the Orioles would be the last team in the American League East. They're pretty bad, but the other teams are pretty good. They're like 52-109.
Yeah.
But I'm with you. I don't want to see that extra game, that 163, because it could ultimately be meaningless. I mean, the beauty of the baseball postseason is the games are so significant. But if you have the Dodgers and Giants play that extra game to see who wins the division, and then the loser, of course, goes to the wild card, and it is quite possible that the team that goes to the wild card wins the wild card and then ends up playing, you know, the Giants Dodgers could still play. So that game ultimately could be kind of meaningless. And I think it would leak some of the drama out of what's been easily the best divisional race I think we've seen in a long time, if not the best divisional race ever.
Yeah, I just, for one, you have the aspect of the West Coast teams. Nobody cares about you get the East Coast bias, right? Especially in baseball. So I don't even really know if that would be a big ratings draw. Of course, we'd watch it on the West Coast, right? But I feel like the Yankees and the Red Sox playing 163, right? That's must-see TV for most baseball fans.
Yes.
Giants-Dodgers playing 163 is kind of like, okay, well, I guess they're both really, really good. I guess I'll watch, you know? I don't want to see it either way. I want them to end this. I want them to end it today. I want them chilling while the Dodgers have to go play a play-in game, right? Like, that's what I want. But I just, it's kind of funny that despite the both teams having the two best records in baseball, I kind of feel like a Boston, New York Yankees thing would be a bigger deal playing 163rd game than the Giants and the Dodgers with the two best records in all of baseball.
Here's the problem with that. And, of course, it would be nice theater. But, you know, baseball, it's interesting to me. They call it the postseason. Baseball doesn't say playoffs. And we say it and fans say it, and that's fine. But baseball calls it the postseason. And I think one of the reasons is, in baseball, when you have a playoff, what are you playing off? If you have a tie, you play it off. That's what a playoff really is. And, of course, we call all postseason games now playoff games.
The playoffs?
My point is, yeah. Thanks, Coach Mora. My point is typically in baseball, when you have those extra games, they're really important because, like, you win and go on or you're out. And if you have the Dodgers and Giants, 163, you win, you go on. You lose, you go on. Now, you're on a different path, and you'd rather not lose. But if you lose, it's like, you're still playing. And so, to me, I hope we don't get that because it would be very awkward.
Yeah, it would. And it is meaningless because both teams are in, right? Both teams have clinched long ago.
Exactly.
It's only a question of who is going to go to the play-in game and who's going to go on vacation for 4 days. And every fan base and every team wants to be that team. But when you talk about St. Louis and St. Louis ending the season on a tear, 16 games in a row, I would still favor either the Giants or the Dodgers in a series against the Cardinals. I mean, in a one-game situation, I would still put my money on either the Giants or the Dodgers over the Cardinals, despite their late season surge.
Yeah, I would too, but they have been so impressive. What, they win 15 in a row?
It was 16. It was 16. It ended about a couple runs shy of it for being 17 wins in a row. Yeah.
Yeah. So that is impressive. And it all comes down, a lot of it comes down to the pitching. And I know from the 510, it's dangerous to be in the wild card. Anything can happen. I totally get that. And I understand why you'd rather be in a divisional series than play the wild card. All I'm saying is if it's Giants Dodgers 163, even the loser is still playing. So it's not as dramatic as typically postseason baseball games are. It's Whitey Gleason, Shamari Block here on 95.7 The Game. You being a Giant fan, and the Giants are trying to take care of business and wrap up the West here, so they could do it today, potentially, or tomorrow against the Padres. Would that be special to you, given that last year, if you remember this, last year, late in that 60-game season, the Padres walked the Giants off in their own stadium? Do you remember that? Because there was a COVID game in San Diego. So late in the year, they played here, and it was a home game for San Diego. And Grisham hit a home run that walked off the Giants in their own building.
Remember that? I remember looking at the record. At some point, the Giants were like a couple of games above 500, and they were technically still in contention for the postseason. And it's like maybe a week left. And I look at that. Okay, so the last four games were against the Padres. It's probably not going to go their way. Like, I remember just feeling that. I didn't say this outwardly, but inside I'm like, yeah, that's, at least they were in it for most of the season, you know? And it's football season now, so it's okay. It's one of those things that, you know, last season the Giants were just a – not just a, but the Giants, they did well because they were in it long enough to get me to football season. They were in it. I was interested enough. And then, you know, whatever. The postseason happens. The Dodgers win their asterisk a World Series victory. I'm not counting that, man. You don't play 162. It doesn't count.
I agree with you 100%. Yeah. In my mind, the Tampa Bay Rays are the actual World Series champions.
Right. But no, man. Last season was rough, but I remember that. I remember that whole last series. I remember not having hope and then feeling justified for not having hope. So, you know, it is what it is. And that's why it would be all the more gratifying to close it out tonight against the Padres and then like tomorrow, like send out all the AAA guys. Like, just call up the Sacramento River Cats and have them play tomorrow's game against the Padres. That would be so gratifying.
Yeah, some people would be presumably hungover if the Giants were able to clinch. It's really interesting you look at these two teams battling it out the last couple days of the season. And all of us, and I'm right there with everybody else before the season, like, yeah, the Padres are going to be really good. The Giants, nah, I mean, if they're lucky, maybe they'll be hanging in the wild card race in the, you know, maybe early September. And you look now at how it's happened. I think it has a lot to do with roster construction. You have the fact that the Padres fired their manager today, and A.J. Preller, their GM, they went out and they got like, okay, we got Hosmer, first base, and we signed Machado, and we got Tatis, and he's a shortstop. We traded with the Mariners to get Nola, catcher. And so that's kind of the way they put the team together, kind of star-studded, piecemeal a little bit, this position, and you look at the Giants, and the Giants just put the whole roster together, right? It's like Lamont Wade. What does he play? First base? We have first baseman. We can play him in the outfield. He can help us. He has skills that can help us. So you end up with this roster of all these guys, these interchangeable parts. And to their credit, more than Farhan's, of course, they've all done the job. But the Giants team is so impressive, whereas the Padres, the way they cobble their team together, we've got a star here and a superstar there, the team didn't really fit together. It really speaks to the way Farhan and Friedman in L.A., too, the way they, for years, have put their rosters together.
Yeah, and you know, there's something to be said about that. Whitey, is that the Giants don't have this star-studded team, and they're still winning. That said, when the offseason gets here, okay, I want some names. I get it. The numbers and figuring things out. But now let's put some names with the numbers. Okay, because as much as I appreciate Lamont Wade, right, late night Lamont, right, mm-hmm. as much as I appreciate Wilmer Flores and Darren Ruff and all these diamonds in the Darren Ruff that they found all over the place, right, as much as I appreciate that, like, it'd also be nice to just be like, oh, wow, here goes Trevor Story or somebody like that coming up to the bat, and you don't have to worry about the lefty-righty match. It's like, hey, you, we have numbers. The number says you're going to hit the crap out of the ball no matter who's pitching. Get out there and do that, right? That would also be nice.
I think what it comes down to for them, and who knows, because Farhan, the
but
way
also
he
numbers.
Works is magic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think it comes down to the pitching staff next year. Who are they able to keep off this staff? And, you know, they went out and they signed a bunch of guys like DeSclafani and Wood, who they've been pretty good in the past, but they had a lot to prove. We'll bring them in, and maybe one or two of them will hit. And, you know, they've been great. So can you count on that again? Are they going to be able to bring all those guys back? That's the key, because I really think home runs and pitching, and then to a degree, some shocking degree, defense, that's been the foundation for their success. The pitching, the defense, the three-run homers, the home runs have been, who saw that coming? So I don't know. I mean, I think you're bringing back, Farhan has said, we're trying to bring back this whole team. If you bring Bryant back, I mean, I think you're in pretty good shape. And we look at this team, as you just said, and we've all done it. You look at this team and go, I don't know who these guys are. That said, if you have Brandon Crawford at short, Longoria at third, who's playing like he did in Tampa Bay when he's like an MVP guy. And then you have like Belt, who unfortunately is hurt, and you got Buster Posey. That's not a bunch of nobodies. That is a legitimate major league infield. That is a contender's infield that they have put together right
that
now.
That is not, but
Bryant too.
But what if you replace La Stella at second with like a Marcus Semien type dude, okay?
Ooh, yeah.
And that's what I'm saying.
Sure.
That's what I'm saying, though, right? Like,
yes.
And keep your guys. Keep all your guys. I'm not saying bring everybody back. And then on top of that cake, throw some icing on there, man. A little
yes.
powdered sugar. That's all. That's what I'm asking for, okay? Yeah, that's what I want. This is a beautiful, tasty, delicious, moist cake, man. I want some icing and some sprinkles and some powdered sugar and you
that'd
know, whatever, man.
Fans.
Yeah, and some candles.
Seeing Semien go to the Giants, that would be awfully rough for A's fans.
He's available.
But you're right.
You know what? The A's fans, I love you. I love every one of you, okay? And you guys deserve better. You deserve better, A's fans. You deserve better. But because the A's aren't going to give you better, well, don't be mad if we're getting mm-hmm. better, because it's all in the family, baby. It's all in the family. For real,
A's
no,
fans
man.
Are as used to it as you can be. You know, you're as used to it as you can be. It's not easy, but at some point you almost – you grow a callus there. You don't feel it as much.
You know the funny thing? Every time I see a great A's player, I'm like, that guy is going to make a hell of a Yankee one day.
Yeah.
That's what I think every time I see a really good A's player. Like, he mm-hmm. is going to look good in pinstripes.
Yeah. Well, that would be terrific. And this is one of the reasons that teams in the division, specifically the Padres and the Dodgers, really have cringed at what the Giants have done this year, because the Giants are, as we know, ahead of schedule. And when it gets to what you're just talking about, signing free agents – I mean, the Giants and the Padres and the Rockies in Arizona, they thought, all right, it's going to take a while before the Giants get everything together. So the Giants will be competitive for those guys if they choose to be, like Semien. And the other teams didn't want to see that. It's like, oh, my goodness. We didn't want to see that from this team. There's a fly ball, by the way. And It won't be today, Shomari.
It's not tonight.
The Giants will not be clinching today with the Padres beating the Giants 3-2 in 10 innings. Padres got the automatic runner home in the 10th. So the Giants, they could still clinch tonight. I should say, yeah, they could clinch tonight if the Dodgers lose to the Brewers. But if the Dodgers win tonight, then we go to the final day of the season with the divisional title still up for grabs, Shomari.
I have to burn my lucky shirt. They lost.
What?
I'm wearing the lucky shirt. They lost. I have to burn it, man. Like in a very controlled, you know, environment, in a safe environment. Lucky shirt. You are not lucky.
No, it's not even the shirt. It's you had tickets to the game. You guys haven't lost, and you decided to not use that mojo your family has. You know, you got to use your powers for good. Okay, if you're not going to use them at all, you got to use these for good.
Right. Yeah, Craig, I don't know if they win another game until Shomari takes care of this Shomari curse. Right?
Shomari needs to go get tickets right now. Sit outside the stadium.
What I need to do is just make sure I have 3 first-half beers tomorrow to guarantee the beat the Seahawks. To guarantee the Niners beat the Seahawks, I have to make sure I have my 3 first-half beers. Man, that's all. I'm going back to 2019 tactics, okay, so we can get 2019 results.
Are we doing beers for the Niners Seahawks or beers for Giants Padres?
Yeah, good question.
God,
you're all over the
place,
Shomari.
That is a lot of drinking, but yeah, I'll do both.
You need to take these for the team.
It's going to be rough. It's going to be rough. You know, hide my keys and whatnot. But I'll do it. You know, if it means my team's gonna win, you know, I'll go there, man.
Sam and Craig, correct me if I'm wrong,
but I think that
Shomari has to have 3 beers in the first 4.5 innings tomorrow. Right?
I was just doing that math backwards. See, you look at you. You know, Hogan High guys. I mean, you know, public school math. You guys are out there killing it. I got to give it to you. We didn't do that at Tennyson. So it's about 8 beers. Sounds like. But Shomari, I got faith in you, man. You got this.
I got this.
And Shomari nailing down the save, as you well know, was Mark Melanson, the former Giant, nailing down the save today for Los Padres.
Why? But not the former Giant. The former Giant that came here was supposed to be good, was awful for like 2 seasons, was okay for 1, and then now he's leading the league in saves.
Oh, but don't forget the time when he left and went to Atlanta. It was awful there, too, so I saw that in Atlanta.
I mean, that's Atlanta. That's fine. I don't care about it. I don't care what he did in Atlanta. No, I don't care what he did in Atlanta. He came to the Giants. It'd be one thing if he was bad for the Padres. That'd be great. But he's like literally the best version of himself right now. And that's like, you know, it's like your ex never dressed up for you when you got together. And then you're out. And it's like, oh, my God, you're wearing heels. You got your hair done. What's going on, Mark Melanson? Do you like them better than you liked us?
You know, I think it was really difficult for everybody, although the Padres got some big hits in the 10th. But as the shadows, you know, crept out from behind home plate and then out towards the mound, you can imagine how hard it is to see. And we see that a lot with West Coast early start, that is early in the evening, late afternoon baseball games, where like the pitcher's in the sun and the batters are in the shadows. Not making excuses, but it's hard to hit. It's hard to hit anyway, but especially in those conditions. And I'm wondering how much that might have affected both teams, but especially the Giants there in that 10th inning.
Yeah, listen, man, I'll tell you like this, okay? The Padres had 11, 12, I think like last I looked, it was 11 hits to 5. So the Padres, they didn't score a whole lot of more runs, but they didn't have a problem getting hits, man.
And I guess Duvall, they took out Duvall, right? I guess your boy Kapler took out Duvall.
He took out Gausman when Gausman was dealing. He thrown 84 pitches. It was the 8th inning. And then the numbers said, oh, well, you don't want him to go the 3rd time through the lineup. And they did it. And the numbers usually work. So I can't be too mad at that. But when do you take out a pitcher who's thrown 84 pitches through 8 innings? Who's dealing? Who's giving up 2 runs? I'm sorry, who's giving up 1 run? 1
Good
run,
question.
7 innings. Hey, we got to get him out of there before he gives. That was rough.
Yeah, I think part of it is you're looking ahead to what's to come, and you want to make sure that he's ready for his next start, which will be in an even bigger game. And I don't know, maybe there was no indication. Maybe he had his hip was grabbing a little bit. I don't know. But that's a matter of, hey, let's get him out of here. He's pitching well. The bullpen's been great. We wrap this thing up, and we party tonight. It's just being maybe a little conservative, but just being prudent with Gausman when you've got bigger fish to fry beyond this series.
Okay, so so Martha and Vallejo, you guys know where's Martha Vallejo. Me and my siblings call her mom. Martha and Vallejo, what's happening?
Martha, hello.
Hey, Shomari.
Hey, what's
guys. How's everybody going?
Yeah, we cool, man. I mean, the text line in 510, sigh, I'm sad. I think everybody's bummed, but fear not. The Brewers can still help us out tonight.
That's right.
Well, I just want, yes, they can, and I believe that they will tonight. But I just wanted to say, you're wearing your lucky shirt, but we're not at the game because you had to go to work. So, your fault they didn't win tonight.
wait, Craig already put this on me. Now you're calling my old mother. You're calling in to put this on me too.
She's co-signing this here. She sees what happened today.
Confirmed. Yep.
He's wearing. You're not supposed to wear your lucky shirt unless we're going to the game, Shamari.
No.
I wear it tomorrow.
You can't triple stamp a double stamp.
I'm definitely not. I'm not like the flip your shirt inside out guys. You don't have to worry about me wearing this shirt tomorrow. This is going into the hamper.
Don't burn it. We'll need it for next year.
I'm not burning it. I'm being silly. Come on, you know me. I'm being silly. If I was going to burn the shirt for any reason, it would be for not being the original colors that it originally was. It was orange and black when I bought it. Now it's like brown and dark yellow or something like that. Yeah, no. That's worth all burning. Right. But it means, have a good one. I'll talk to you later.
Thank you, Martha. Yeah, we appreciate it. I think Craig and Sam, I think what Shamari has to do, he could still make this right tonight. He's got to watch the Brewers and the Dodgers, and he can watch highlights on MLB tonight if he has to, but he's got to sit there for that game. He's got to have 3 beers during the first 4.5 innings of that game, and he's got to wear his lucky shirt, but he's got to wear it inside out. To me, that's the only path to making this right today.
It's the only way to get around this hex that he put on our team.
Like I said, man, I think I'll do it. I got it. I got this, guys. I got this. No worries. Hakuna Matata. I got this, especially the 3 beers part.
Yeah, big Brewer fan tonight, huh? Yeah.
Oh, definitely. Right. It's like literally Brewers. And you know what? I think I'm going to drink some Milwaukee's Best.
Good for you. Coming up, we will look ahead to the postseason. There is going to be a postseason one way or the other. No belt, no problem, or no chance. That's next with Shamari Block and me, Whitey Gleason, on 95.7 The Game.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.